again, we have this kind of unofficial train theme at White River State Park between the Polar Express at the IMAX, the Celebration Crossing train ride in the Indiana State Museum, and then Jingle Rails at the Idle George. So there's a lot of trains at White River State Park. Choo-choo, right. Indeed.
Welcome to the Voices of Freedom podcast, where we sit down with the voices behind the scenes at Freedom 95. And now your host, Jeremy Butel.
Hey, thanks for listening. It's one of our favorite traditions around the holidays. We get a visit from our friends at the White River State Park. Jake Oakman, who is the executive director of the White River State Park Development Commission. We'll talk some zoo, some Everwise Amphitheater, Victory Field, Indiana State Museum, IMAX Theater, and of course all of the holly jolly activities going on this month around the White River State Park, and also the familiar voice of White River Owl. Thanks for listening.
Jake Oakman, it's not Christmas until you come and see us here at the Greater Freedom 95 campus. So welcome.
That's a lot of pressure to put on a man.
We're doing it later this year, so we've got some catching up to do. How was your 2024?
It's been really good so far. It's not over yet. December's kind of one of the busiest months of the year in the park, which surprises a lot of people, but it's been good. We had the solar eclipse at the beginning of the year. We had this singer-songwriter called Taylor Swift who came earlier this month. She kind of does a folk act with an acoustic guitar.
And, Taylor Swift, what?
Uh-huh. Yeah. She sings ballads and sea shanties. So that was obviously that wasn't in the park, but it was park adjacent, and all of Indianapolis was tied up with that. But it's been good.
I'm a little surprised I didn't hear about that.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that too.
Yeah. You guys made a major announcement at some point during this year.
Yes.
When was that exactly?
So late October we announced we're expanding the park by about 13 to 15 acres, and that kind of has been in the news. People have known that we're expanding the park for probably a year or so by now. But in late October, we actually broke ground on the expansion. We released some renderings of what the new land's going to look like. We announced a $30 million grant from the Lilly Endowment to help fund the expansion. So that was really I think, again, a lot of people knew we were doing it. That wasn't a secret, but what it was going to look like, the Lilly's involvement, breaking ground on it, that all happened towards the end of October of this year.
How big of a deal is this? When I look at the renderings, I'm like, where is that? I can't quite picture it. Is this going to really change the footprint?
It does. It adds about 13 to 15 acres. It repurposes an old factory relic that's been abandoned for probably 20 years now. It allows White River State Park to safely engage with the White River for the first time in its history. So White River State Park will actually be able to, you'll be able to get on the White River. And it's the largest addition to the park from a land standpoint. It's the largest addition to the park since the park was founded 40 years ago. So it's a pretty big deal.
How much of your day-to-day over the past couple of years has been tied up with this?
It's really like ebbs and flows. Now we're to a point where, so, I mean, there's been some days where that's all that I've had to focus on. There's been some days or a couple of days go by where I don't have to mess with it, and then I come back to it. But now that the funding's in place, the designs are public, we have an owner's rep on board that's kind of handed more the day-to-day construction of it, I'm not as involved as usual, which is nice because that's not my world. It's like learning a foreign language in some respects.
But you did put a shovel in the ground.
I did.
Yeah, I thought so.
Turned some dirt, too. Yeah.
How much will this change the average park goer's visit in the next couple of years?
I think it really depends because it's all connected to the current park, but it is still kind of off on its own because it's on the other side of the river. It's on the same side of the river as the zoo, but it's south of Washington Street. So it's kind of isolated from the rest of the park. There's a trail system that'll get you there. But when, so we're repurposing this factory to be a community center and an event space, which will be unique to Indianapolis and really all of central Indiana once it's built. So when that's activated and there's events there, it'll be unlike any other attraction in the park. And then one of the things that we as the park leadership have to make sure we're doing is when there is an activation over there and it's just sort of an open park experience for people to enjoy, make sure people know that it's over there for them. They can get there. They can use the new amenities that are going to be part of that river shoreline. I guess it's not a shoreline if it's a river, but
I wouldn't have known.
Oh,
I'd call it a shoreline.
Is it a shoreline? Okay. Well,
I mean, I don't know what else to call it.
Me neither. That's the voice of White River Al. We didn't introduce him at the top of the hour or at the top of the show.
Let's pose this. Uh-huh. White River Al and I were speaking. When does the Christmas season begin in your world, Jake Oakman?
Well, me personally or in the world of the park?
In you personally.
So I've gotten softer as I've gotten older. It used to be nothing until the day after Thanksgiving. Mm. But as I've gotten older, I have softened that stance, and I usually get to about the, like, I just put my Christmas tree up, both of them, this past weekend. So, but the thing too is, like, when Thanksgiving is late, like it is mm-hmm. this year, I feel like I'm only hurting myself by losing a week or two of Christmas.
Yeah.
So I would say mid-November. Okay. Definitely nothing before Halloween. And but if you want to start putting decorations up mid-November, like that Veterans Day time period, that's kind of what I do now. Although I still don't listen to Christmas music until after Thanksgiving.
Oh, wow.
It would be different. I used to think Thanksgiving got overlooked, but there's like, what, 3 Thanksgiving movies and like 2 Thanksgiving songs. So it's not like Thanksgiving has really set itself out there to be relevant in the pop culture. It has just sort of let Christmas mm-hmm. run amok.
Yeah.
If you watch Planes, Trains, and what is it? Planes, Trains, and Automobiles and like Dutch are the two Thanksgiving movies.
Yeah. And if you look at tourism too, there's not a lot of event. You have your Halloween events and then there's the like setup for Christmas
yeah.
time period.
Mm hmm.
So having said all that, and the fact that we are recording this a little bit later than we have the last couple years, things are already in place at White River State Park for the Christmas season. What do we got this year?
Well, all the old favorites are coming back. There's Christmas at the Zoo with all the holiday lights. There's Jingle Rails at the Eideljorg. There's Celebration Crossing at the Indiana State Museum. But even though there's Polar Express again at the IMAX, but even though those are sort of returned favorites and traditions, all of them have some new elements to them. So like the Indianapolis Zoo, Christmas at the Zoo, there's a new Santa Claus. Santa got a new house. I don't know if it's Chip and Joanna Gaines came in and like did a fixer-upper, renovated it for him, or he did some expansion, but the Santa Claus experience at the zoo is different. There's a new at the Jingle Rails at the Eideljorg, the new model for this year is a model of the Madam Walker Theater, which is pretty neat. I went to the media unveiling or
is
media preview. And
an addition, or is that replacing something?
In addition to.
Nice.
Yeah.
So that's really neat. So, yeah, it's and again, like we were talking about earlier, the December is typically one of the 2 to 3 busiest months of the year in the park because of all the Christmas things that the different attractions do.
So that was going to be one of my questions. If somebody has done one or all of these events in years past, there is something different this year to go see?
Yeah, absolutely. There, like I said, there's something new at the zoo. The other cool thing that they're doing new this year at the zoo is they're doing some sensory-friendly evenings. Mm. So if all the lights and sounds and all that could be overwhelming for certain people, they're going to cater a couple nights out of the Christmas at the Zoo for some sensory sensitivity. But yeah, each of the attractions have something new to offer, so you should definitely come out and see them again.
What's the Polar Pathway, if I might ask?
Yeah, so the Polar Pathway, you have this tunnel of lights. It's kind of the go-to picture at Christmas at the Zoo
okay.
that you see a lot of people. That's where they want their family picture. It's a full tunnel of lights. The line can be a little long for it some nights, but it's popular. It looks really cool. It's right next to your Santa Village and all your hot chocolate stations and all that, kind of towards the front of the zoo.
Okay.
Really
sure,
great
I've
spot.
Seen it. Yeah.
Yeah. And they also have this new to last year, I believe, Christmas tree that has like a lighting display, shows video images up on the tree. It's really cool. It's right next to the orangutan exhibit at the zoo.
Yeah, we sat and watched that. There's some fire barrels there close. Yeah. It could be really cool.
And that's another thing, too. Speaking of the orangutans, I mean, the chimpanzee exhibit is new at the zoo. And so even if you haven't been at the zoo this year, if you've been to Christmas at the zoo in previous years, but you haven't been to the zoo yet this year, there's the new chimpanzee exhibit, and they'll probably be out and about so you can see the new elements at the Christmas at the zoo, but then also there's just new things that have happened at the zoo throughout the year.
And the Eideljorg's in a similar boat because they have a new Preston Singletary exhibit, Raven in the Box of Daylight. It's a glass sculpture exhibit. This artist kind of tells a native creation story through it. But when you walk in there, just the full vibe of the exhibit has been really interesting. It's stunning, as far as visuals. It's at the Eideljorg.
Okay.
And it's there, I believe, through March.
I think that's right, yeah.
Question about Jingle Rails.
Yes.
That is a holiday-specific exhibit, because it's not all Christmassy, right? There are elements of Christmas there, like Monument Circle.
Yeah, like it's throughout the Christmas season, and then the last day for it is Martin Luther King Day, so it even goes a little bit longer than into the new year. But it is something that's holiday-specific. But in the models that they have, the setups that they have, like you mentioned Monument Circle, it's sort of decorated as if it were Christmas time. And then they have smaller or like different exhibits from different national parks that are part of the whole Jingle Rails thing. And some of those have a Christmas theme to them and some of them don't. Okay. But it's, it's pretty stunning what the model work that they do for that.
Yeah. I mean, the Christmas stuff's a good excuse to get out and try some of the museums and attractions, too, because you can go for kind of your Christmas activity, but all of the museum comes with admission, too. It's not like you're only paying for Jingle Rails. You can go visit Jingle Rails and see Preston Singletary and see their Native American exhibits. Same thing with the zoo, the Indiana State Museum, all that.
Indy's backyard, it's been said, White River State Park. We're talking Christmas at the zoo, Jingle Rails, Celebration Crossing. Jake, you said that the Polar Express is at the IMAX Theater this year.
Oh, yeah. We couldn't do away with that. I would want to, but it's, and I really wouldn't. I mean, it's a popular event. I say that kind of, the thing still fascinates me. Like we've talked about before, I think I'm too old, or I am too old for Polar Express to have been like a important movie of my childhood with Christmas, but we show that every year at the IMAX, multiple showings throughout December. People do the pajama parties, the hot cocoa, everything like that. And again, we have this kind of unofficial train theme at White River State Park between the Polar Express at the IMAX, the Celebration Crossing train ride in the Indiana State Museum, and then Jingle Rails at the Eideljorg. So there's a lot of trains at White River State Park. Choo-choo, indeed. Cuckoo.
I don't know if they're inflatables.
The Eideljorg Jingle Rail train. It's officially up.
That's when you know it's Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, that's more than me coming on here. That's when you see the inflatable train right at that entrance into White River State Park.
Okay, yeah. Have you ever seen the Hallmark Christmas movie?
Have I ever seen one?
Yes.
I've already seen like 12 this year.
Well, here, let me pose this question to you, since I usually make you list things when you're in here.
Okay.
What are the three most indelible Christmassy type scenes for you when you think of stereotypical trite Christmas tropes? What are your top three scenes?
That's such a good question.
Great question.
A fully decorated and well-lit Christmas tree, to me, is like step one. I would say some sort of outdoor Christmas light display, like maybe not full-on Clark Griswold, but some version of an outdoor Christmas light display. And then the scene in Die Hard when Bruce Willis ties the hose around his waist to jump off the top of Nakatomi Plaza because Special Agent Johnson and Agent Johnson are in the helicopter trying to kill him, and Hans Gruber's just blown up the roof of Nakatomi Plaza. I think that's a very warm and inviting Christmas.
I'm waiting for Hallmark to copy that.
Christmas scene.
See, I just go back. My brain goes immediately to our friends, the M&Ms, from the M&M commercial with Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. Like, that fireplace and that setup is very, very nice.
Touching moment from White River Owl.
Yeah, see? That's what I'm here for.
But I like that when he jumps off the roof there. And then he slides into the window, and then the thing starts pulling him off. pulled him out the window.
You got real specific there.
Yeah. I think that's the best scene in the whole film.
So are you the kind of guy that would throw a Hallmark movie on by yourself?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. I have like 15 to 20 of them on my DVR right now. And again, as I've softened this whole stance on waiting until after Thanksgiving to celebrate Christmas, I have found myself watching some Hallmark films. I'm still waiting on like my classic annual Christmas watches, like Home Alone or White Christmas or, you know, Miracle on 34th Street until after Thanksgiving. But some of those Hallmark movies, they're just easy to kind of burn through. So I've seriously watched about 10. I have a list of the ones I've seen. I've been keeping a list.
Yeah, I've heard good things about Christmas with the Sings and A Carol for Two.
Oh, I haven't seen those yet. Yeah. I don't know if Carol for Two might be on my DVR.
Talking Celebration Crossing, I got a taste last year. I rode the train. Do you think you and I could hop aboard that train, two guys of our stature?
I don't think I could. I mean, I would kill for your body, but I don't think, you know, me alone, I think, would be trouble.
They don't let you on the train?
Well, they've never told me not to get on it. I've just chosen not to put myself in a situation where I would really embarrass myself by getting on it.
So what's this event with a helicopter involved?
That's when Santa comes to the Indiana State Museum. He lands right in the lawn there of the State Museum.
This is a real chopper?
Mm-hmm.
It's a real chopper.
Right in front of the museum.
Get to the chopper.
Because I know you think to yourself, you close your eyes, you imagine Santa Claus, and you imagine that bright red helicopter bringing him down right in the State Museum lawn.
Mm-hmm.
Is this annual?
Annual.
Every year, yeah. Day after Thanksgiving. And then they're off and running.
Awesome.
And just the state, again, like, just coming to the State Museum, obviously they also have the Ellis Air Tea Room. That's a tradition at the State Museum. There's Polar Express, there's Celebration Crossing. But even just, like, coming into the State Museum on a random day with no plan or itinerary or no plan to see the movie or anything, it's just, they do a really great job decorating it for Christmas and the holidays. And it's just, Santa's there throughout the season. And they'll have sort of random choirs coming in to sing from different schools, choirs coming in to perform Christmas songs or some other music act. So it's just, even if, you know, if any of your listeners are working nearby, just come across the street or head over to White River State Park during lunch or something sometime. And it's, you know, there's something festive all the time, even if it isn't sort of a planned or scheduled special event or anything.
I ask you every time you're here, but what all is encompassed by the term White River State Park?
Okay.
The zoo. The theater.
The IMAX, home of the state's largest movie screen, which, I saw Red One.
Oh, how was it?
You know what? I liked it.
IMAX?
Yeah. It's getting a lot of hate, and Dwayne The Rock Johnson and I have a fraught relationship, but I was like, it was exactly what I wanted out of sort of a nonsense Christmas action movie.
What would you compare it to?
That's a good question. It's kind of like, have you ever seen the Santa Claus 3 with Martin Short
he's Jack Frost, my favorite, of the Santa Claus.
Oh, is it really?
Well, I love Martin Short.
Well, who doesn't? So, he's a national treasure.
Yeah.
Very funny, but it's kind of like that, only if they quadrupled the budget.
Oh, yeah.
But it's, you know, sort of a North Pole is, you know, being taken over, Santa Claus is taken hostage, The Rock has got to save him, sort of thing. And usually if there's a movie that I want to see, I try to avoid reading reviews and, like, I want to go in as fresh as possible. But some of the press I did see for Red One was kind of negative. And coming out of it, I don't really know why. I mean, it's not high art or anything like that, but it doesn't need to be. It's a good movie. It's fun. I killed a couple hours. I was entertained, and I don't understand why it's getting it's fun. It's definitely worth seeing.
You gonna see it, White River Al?
Absolutely.
Are you?
I know I really do want to see it. I'm very much in the camp. I love a movie that I don't have to take too seriously.
Right.
Like, you know, going into Red One that you're not taking it too seriously.
Yeah.
Love that.
So, the IMAX, the zoo, Victory Field, which, even though baseball season's over, they have some Christmas events. Bourbon at the Ballpark, although that's sold out. Rowdy's Pancake, Home Plate Holiday, so there's some things at Victory Field. The Idlejorg, the State Museum, the NCAA headquarters is part of White River State Park, and the Hall of Champions, and then the Everwise Amphitheater, Which is our concert venue, which that is closed. There's nothing nothing there right now for the holidays.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Have any 2025 concerts been confirmed yet?
Yeah, we've got like the Goo Goo Dolls are coming. Dwight Yoakam's coming. That's been announced.
Weird Al. There's
Weird Al. And not just weird White River Al, but like the Weird Al. Yankovic. Mr. Yankovic. I think we've announced about 7 or 8. Yeah. And we're not a venue that sort of drops our season all at once and says, here's the concert season. Mm-hmm. They get announced as they get booked. And again, we'll probably get into the 40s or low 50s with concerts this year or next year, I should say.
Do you know how many it was in 24?
I think it was 54.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So many.
It's a lot. I mean, there are weeks where it's 5 concerts kind of squeezed into a week. That Live Nation team works really hard to load everyone in and out. Our grounds team does a really great job keeping the venue cleaned up, especially when you have shows that are more in rain.
Sure.
The ways they take care of that grass to make like the lawn experience good, they do a great job.
Alec, we had you in to talk Lunacy, which was the
April 8th.
Did you attend?
I did. I was there all day. We got there 4 a.m. I think is when we started our first. Eclipse Watcher was, I think, 6 or 6:30 a.m. The eclipse itself was at 3:08, I believe, in the afternoon when the actual event everyone came to see happened. And then we were there well into the evening kind of getting the teardown done. But it's by far the largest event since I've been at the park. We had about 30,000 strong throughout the park that day.
Is that more than you expected?
It was one of those events where you just had no idea what to expect. And because our event was a free community event, like, we didn't sell tickets. So when you had IMS knew their numbers and the museums and the zoo kind of had an idea of what to expect with some walk-ups, we had no clue. So I was just, you know, there's always when you plan events, Lizzie did a great job planning it. You just kind of are like, I hope people show up. I don't really understand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But man, when the actual eclipse happened, people started cheering and there's just kind of this wave over the crowd. It was really cool and exceeded my expectations for it.
Jake, did you tear up?
I did not tear up.
You did not tear up.
But the only times I've cried outside of a funeral of a loved one is when the Boston Red Sox won the 2004 World Series. And as exciting and magical as the eclipse was, it didn't rise to that level. Yeah. But it was like, I was definitely a skeptic or a cynic when it came to this kind of going into the eclipse. I was like, I get it. We're going to look up. It's going to be dark at 3 in the afternoon. But you'd hear these stories about people who were driving from like Texas to come to Indiana to watch it because we were in the path of totality. And I kind of thought it was foolish. But then when we had Lunacy and you were there with 30,000 people and we had that kind of festival atmosphere, and then when the eclipse actually happened and everyone was cheering and it was dark in the middle of the day, I was like, okay, I kind of get it now.
Yeah. And kind of that day before, so a lot of the national news stations were going to Texas, was kind of their hub where they were going to do the eclipse. And as the weather turned in Texas, they got the downturn.
Yeah.
Weather started looking up for us. So, like, CNN calls me the day before, and they're like, hey, can we come there? We're pivoting from Texas. We're coming to Indiana. So I spent the whole day before kind of taking CNN around.
Well, and that was the thing that was wild about the whole thing, too, is we were planning it for over a year, and if it just happened to be cloudy that day, we were kind of, you know, it was, but luckily it wasn't. But unfortunately, I'm sure there were the people in Texas who are also in the path of totality where they did have bad weather. You know, we had great weather, no clouds in the sky. It was like 70 degrees the whole day. It was perfect. But you do kind of feel sorry for the people who probably did all the same amount of work and time and effort and creativity to put on an event, and then they just happened to learn about a week beforehand, oh, it's going to be cloudy that day, so we're kind of screwed.
And when we were out with CNN doing the interviews before, it was sunny all day. We were feeling good. We went to do their last media hit of the day out on our bridge overlooking the river, and they start their live hit, and as soon as they start it, just full downpour.
This is the day before?
Day before. Mm-hmm. So it's like 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock at night, just full downpour. And as they're finishing their segment, this poor reporter's just getting hammered by sideways rain. A double rainbow comes over the city skyline. And I'm like, I hope that's a good omen. Like, I really need this to be a good omen. And, I mean, it was you couldn't have asked for a better Indiana day for it.
Crazy. We also had a reporter fall in the river reporting on the eclipse, didn't we? Because we had Frank's livery does canoe rentals and kayak rentals and things like that. So they had a special, like, get on the river and experience the eclipse. And a reporter from Fox 59.
Hannah Fullman.
Hannah. Hi, Hannah, if you're listening.
Yeah, shout out to Hannah Fullman. She's
great.
She
went viral, so I don't feel bad about bringing this back up. But she was on, what do they call that?
A stand-up paddleboard.
Yeah, stand-up paddleboard.
Oh, so it's not from the bridge. That's good.
No, thankfully. But yeah, she fell in the river, and she fell off the paddleboard into the river, and it sort of, she had her viral moment.
I mean, Kimmel picked it up.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I remember checking even the hourly forecast the morning of, and it still said either partly or mostly cloudy at 3 o'clock.
I was nervous until about 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
When it was over, then I started like, man, this event was great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But even throughout the whole day, I mean, again, to have that many people in the park for a free event.
Yeah.
Everything went smooth. People enjoyed themselves. It was just a fun atmosphere. And I think it was something like 80%, according to our data, like over 80% of those people were from out of central Indiana.
Wow.
So
yeah.
That might have been their first ever White River State Park experience.
Yes. Yeah. Executive Director of the White River State Park, Jake Oakman.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Gray, Director of Marketing and Communications.
White River Al.
It's been changing the business cards.
It's been a big year for you guys, culminating with the Christmas season, which you claim is the biggest.
I don't claim. I have facts.
We got hard data.
I could tell you it is the second busiest month for the zoo.
Is it?
And usually it's kind of weird because it's like, what Dr. Rob, the CEO of the zoo, was telling me is like it always comes in second behind either like June, July, or August. But of the 3 months that aren't first, they don't beat December, which is you know, you would figure, well, December could be behind June and July,
right?
It's like, no, it'll be like July, December, June, August, or something like that. But December's huge for the zoo. It's big for the Eidelgjorg. It's big for the State Museum. And it's just something that we like to remind people that, again, you think park, you think it's outdoor, it's too cold, there's not a lot to do. Obviously, the zoo experience is outdoors, and it's great. But there's a lot to do in the park, even in the sort of off-season months.
And I think what's great about it is you can really do multiple things. Like, it doesn't have to be you just go to Christmas at the zoo.
And you'll have to park once, right?
You only have to park once. Yeah. I mean, the zoo's a little bit of a walk from our normal parking garage. But, like, what we've found is that people are much more tolerant of kind of walking in the cold weather when it's the Christmas-related activities.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a terrible walk. It's a good get-your-steps-in moment. We have lights along the bridge that are pretty to look at as you kind of walk out and about.
You know, a vantage point I'd never seen is after you get across the bridge and turn toward the zoo, if you look back toward the city.
It's beautiful.
I'd never seen that until last year when we went.
That's my favorite view of the downtown skyline. There's kind of the money shot on, there's the bridge over the canal kind of by Military Park that looks straight down the canal, and you get the skyline there, and that's a famous shot. It's a beautiful shot. But I think the view you're referring to on the west side of the bridge looking east towards the downtown skyline is the best view of the park and of downtown Indy,
because you can see the big tree from there, right?
Yeah
Which I didn't realize until I looked back and I'm like, wait a minute, how are we seeing this?
And I'm actually excited for, that's one of the things I'm most excited about, to go back to the extension of the park. There's a view from that area where you have the Chevy Dam, you've got the river, and it kind of just like leads up to the city skyline. I'm really excited for that view too, once they finish that project, to be able to have that view in our arsenal. I think we have some of the best views, if not the best views, of Indianapolis.
I agree.
So Jake and I will plan the train ride at some point, and then a Hallmark slumber party.
I'm fine with that.
What is on your White River State Park itinerary this year?
Well, I want to do the zoo. I want to do it right.
Okay.
We put a lot into one night, and the zoo was almost closed by the time we got there. I want to get over there and do it right.
Yep. Will you be seeing Santa there? Which spot?
Well, I heard he has new digs.
He does.
So, and then Polar Pathway.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll be there anyway.
Yeah.
So
there's a mirror maze now too, and it's really good. I really like
the Christmas mirror maze.
It's a Christmas mirror maze.
Oh wow.
It's
next
good.
Level. I think we did it. Did we miss anything on the?
I don't think so.
I'll tell you what. There's nothing that I've felt more accomplished by in my life than realizing that both of you love Christmas this much and scheduling an annual Christmas interview. It's a crowning achievement of my career.
It is.
Next year I'm bringing eggnog.
That's festive.
That would be good.
I like coming down here. I know it's radio, so you can't necessarily see the studio, but
it's
you're a festive guy.
Uh-huh.
You do a good job keeping this place.
You got your hat on.
The full festivities.
I love seeing this. Like, when you're asking me about the Christmas scenes, for those of you who are listening, I'm looking at a giant monitor that has, like, the perfect Christmas tree, and there's snow falling outside the windows, and, yeah. And there's a Christmas tree, a real Christmas tree, and in front of the window here.
Real.
Well, real in the fact that it exists in 3D versus being on a screen.
Good, good. We'll do this again. Congrats on the expansion.
Thank you.
Big, big news. White River Owl, Merry Christmas. Mm-hmm.
Merry Christmas.
Jake Oakman, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Voices of Freedom podcast on Freedom 95. For an audio archive, visit the podcast tab at freedom95.us.